All right, thank you very much, Liz. Welcome back, everyone. LeVar Arrington Show with Chad Dukes and Bill Roland in for Chad today.
Yeah.
And as promised, 4 o'clock, here he is, the reigning defensive player of the year of the Green Bay Packers. Charles Woodson joins us on the McDonald's Hotline. Charles, thanks for hanging out this afternoon.
No problem, man. Thanks for having me on.
You're such a smooth fellow, man. How you been?
I can't help this life.
It's just natural, huh?
It's natural, man. I was born that way.
Hey, so it's great to get you on the show, first and foremost. I mean, I appreciate you coming on and blessing us with your presence, first and foremost.
No doubt, man. Congratulations to you, man. I was talking to Stevie B a couple weeks back, and he told me about his show, man. So it's funny that, you know, I'm on here now.
Yeah, well, that's good. And
congrats.
Thank you very much. So, all right, where are you at? Are you in Atlanta or are you in Green Bay? Where are you at right now training?
I'm in Green Bay, man.
You're in Green Bay. Now, how has that been? A lot of people don't really know too much about Green Bay, Wisconsin. What is it like being a Green Bay Packer, for one of the most storied franchises in all of the NFL history, and then being in a place where, you know, they're known for the Lambeau Leap and cheese that you put on your head? What's it like being a Green Bay Packer?
It's been great, man. I, you know, I've been here, you know, 4 years now, and I couldn't have asked for a better situation, you know, especially, you know how the talk is about, you know, being a free agent or whatever and coming to Green Bay. You know how people talk about Green Bay.
Yeah.
But until you get here and you play in this city and you play for these fans and you play for this organization, you don't truly understand, you know, what a gold mine and what a gem that it is, you know. And you know, they've taken care of me here, man, and I've had a great time here. I love playing for the people here in Green Bay, and it's a great town, a small town with great people.
Charles, they're talking about building or possibly putting in 8,000 more seats there at Lambeau on the one side of the stadium to basically wall in all the sound. Now, I've never been up to Lambeau Field, but I hear it is an incredible place. Can you imagine that place even louder than it already is for when you guys are playing, like on a Monday night? I don't know. Say Brett's back in town for a game. You got 8,000 more people screaming at him.
Oh, man, that'd be great, man. You'd be able to hear it three states over. You know, the great thing about that is that, you know, they take suggestions from all the fans.
Right.
You know, they put out you know, questionnaires and polls and ask fans what they want. So that's the great part about Green Bay, is that everybody's involved with it. So for them to add more seats and, as you say, kind of closing that sound and knowing that the stadium's going to be packed every week and get that incredible crowd noise behind you, that'd be tremendous.
All right, I got to ask you, Wood, playing there and having that situation, one, do you think Aaron Rodgers is ready to take the bull by the horns and be the guy that really puts this team, you know, on his shoulders and gets them into the Super Bowl? Two, who do you see being the toughest team outside of, obviously, the Green Bay Packers in the NFC? Who do you think is the team to look out for outside of you guys?
Well, as far as A-Rod is concerned, man, I think the Monday Night Crew last year, I said, if this guy, they'll protect him the way he needs to be protected. He's the best quarterback in the league.
Wow.
And I stand by that. And if you look at last season, you take a guy that had over 50 sacks, you know, to still throw over 4,000 yards, that's incredible, you know. And he's a great guy, man. And you can see his growth in practice every day. And he wants it, you know, and that's the most important thing. As far as teams out there, right now, I mean, there's so many. I mean, I look at one team in our own division who I think is going to surprise a lot of people this year. And that's
Detroit Lions. Yeah, I agree with you.
I think they had a great offseason. I think the coach that they got in there is bringing in a new mentality, and they're building. And Minnesota, they'll be strong again, of course. And then you got Julius, who's
Chicago,
to
right?
Yeah, so that'll be an interesting matchup there. So just our division alone, it's going to be a dogfight.
Do you come out of your division and see anybody threatening in the NFC? You know, obviously this is a D.C. sports, D.C.-based sports talk show, but, I mean, do you see anybody outside of that conference? Because that is a very strong conference when you look at it. But even if it's not the NFC East, do you say what, Arizona Cardinals? Do you say, like, who,
well,
you know?
I don't think you can ever look past the defending champ.
Okay.
New Orleans is they haven't lost anybody, and of course they still got Drew Brees at the helm, so it's hard to look against him.
Right.
But I tell you all of the Redskins fans over there, I tell you what, you got two great guys. One who I feel like I have a great relationship in Bruce Allen, your new general manager, and he's a guy that knows how to, you know, put the right pieces in place. And then Shanahan, I played against him, you know, in the AFC West for years,
mm-hmm.
and had great battles against his team. So you guys got a positive outlook, I believe, over there.
Nice.
Talking with Charles Woodson of the Green Bay Packers here. He joins us on the McDonald's Hotline. It's the LeVar Arrington Show with Chad Dukes. Bill Rowland sitting in for Chad today. And Charles, you know, one of the things that happened here with the OTAs in Washington is Albert Haynesworth not showing up. And it was, you know, it was a big deal. Everybody kind of blew it up. Looking from another team, as you are obviously playing for Green Bay, did that have any kind of ripple with other players around the league? Or were you guys kind of like, hey, if the guy doesn't show up, he doesn't show up?
No, I think probably the consensus is nobody can understand, you know, how you can get $100 million and not want to come play whatever system it is.
Hmm.
You know, I don't care, 3-4, 4-3, 52. I don't care. You know, if somebody's paying you $100 million, who in the NFL wouldn't want $100 million?
Yeah. I don't want to play in a 3-4. I'm Charles Woodson.
Yeah, I wouldn't care. You know, I'm not a scheme guy. You know, for me, it doesn't matter what scheme I'm in. I'm coming to play football. So, if a team says, hey, you know, we're going to pay you $100 million and we're going to switch to a 3-4, what do you think? Well, wow. It doesn't matter. I'm coming to play.
Right.
Charles's scheme is to intercept the ball and return for a touchdown. That's what he does.
He does it so much.
Yes, a lot.
All right, speaking of Charles Woodson showing up to play, this is one thing. I mean, this is going back in some history now. People may not, these new schoolers that don't believe in the history of the game and know about the game the way they should may not even know this, but you're actually the closest thing to a true defensive player to ever win the Heisman Trophy,
mm-hmm.
and you won it in a year where everybody thought, hands down, that Peyton Manning would be the one that won the Super Bowl. Do you still have good enough recollection of that time where you could walk us through the feeling that was like when you won the Heisman Trophy in college over a Peyton Manning?
Yeah, that was, it started out, I didn't have a lot of, there wasn't a lot of, you know, push for me for the Heisman early on in that season. And, you know, I just remember as the season went on, you know, I was making plays after plays. And then the Michigan State game happened, and then there was a one-handed catch. And then all of a sudden that kind of, you know, turned, you know, everybody's attention towards me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that whole season, you know, like you said, it was all about Peyton Manning. You know, he came back for his senior year. So it was really a foregone conclusion that, you know, he would win it.
Right.
And then, you know, down the stretch, we go to your beloved Penn State.
Yeah, shut up.
Had a great day there.
Yeah, but on both sides of the ball too, I might add. That's because I wasn't on the field. I was going to try.
Did you guys play?
I would have. His helmet would have been in my trophy case if I had been on the field.
Now,
you know.
Well, that's the problem.
I would have took that helmet when they put you on offense, and I still have it in my trophy case now, today.
Charles.
No, I wouldn't have been able to catch him.
Charles finished up, 2 years before you did, right? So did you just play 1 year against him?
I played 1 year. Well, yeah, 1 year.
Okay.
The year they shut us out.
I was going to say, who won?
They didn't shut us out. They beat us up bad, and then they shut us out the next year. Yeah. We didn't do well against Michigan when I was there for some reason. I don't know. You remember Marcus Ray saying, because we're Michigan and they're Penn State. You remember that?
That's right.
That still bothers me to this day. All right, let's switch back into the NFL, Wood. Now, when you left Oakland, a lot of people a lot of people. I'm sure more people on your end you heard it from than just the speculation going around. But a lot of people was like, I don't know if Charles Woodson still has it left. I don't know what Charles Woodson can get done, this and that. A lot of people say that about guys who are leaving Oakland. So I would ask you a two-part. I'm giving you two-part questions, obviously. I would ask you, and obviously your play in Green Bay has proven all of those naysayers and anybody who may have had questions wrong, but what was your motivation and how were you able to not only just be the player that you had been in past years, but you actually, some people would argue you're playing better, older and in a different environment, and how do you feel like that could apply to Jamarcus Russell and his current situation that he's in?
Well, the funny thing about the situation in Oakland is that the way that people looked at our team and the Oakland Raiders was such a negative. There was such a negative outlook on our team in general, and then, you know, I had, you know, different issues with some coaches, and then I had injuries. And so that clouded over anything that I had did on the field. The bottom line was I could still play football.
Right.
And I played some great football those last couple of years I was there, but then there was a lot of time I wasn't on the field because I was hurt. And so anything you ever heard about me at those last couple of years, it was Charles Woodson injury prone. You know, he's lost a step and a whole nine, but they never really paid attention to me playing football. All it was an echo throughout the league that I was hurt all the time.
Hmm.
And so that hurt me in free agency. And so, you know, during that time, I think me and you were both looking,
yeah,
you know, for a place to play.
Yep.
And Green Bay was the only team that gave me a shot.
Hmm.
So it, for me, I came here, I reluctantly, you know, came here, but it was it, you know, that was all I had. And so my thing was, as long as I could stay healthy, then I could show, you know, people what the real deal is.
Right.
As far as, you know, Jamarcus, I don't know Jamarcus. I don't know, you know, what was going on out there in Oakland. And, you know, for him, you know, now, well, he could have got a fresh start, but I don't know how it's going to work now.
Right.
Mother trouble, so
right,
you know, he's fighting an uphill battle right now. I mean, he's a guy who, you know, was paid a great deal of money coming out of school and hasn't done anything.
Mm.
So now you get another shot. There's potentially teams out there that are looking for you, and then all of a sudden you get into this latest little issue, and now you kind of burning bridges right now.
Right, right. Well, that's sad, but yeah, you're right. Thought you might gave us something else, like maybe a fresh start for him.
Yeah.
So like, but you're right. I mean, that does make it difficult when you mess up off the field and as a free agent. And then after, you know, actually how the way it went down, I mean, it couldn't have been, you know, you look at it as, all right, he gets another opportunity and it could be better for him in a new environment. But to go get in trouble that way, yeah, you're right. Has to add some type of
right.
not a good effect to what he's trying to get done. Yeah, I guess you're right.
Hey, Charles, you've been now in the league for 13 years, 12, 13 years. And again, I'm not saying that you're near the end of your career, but let's face it, a lot of guys at this point are starting to look at, and you say, well, maybe he's lost a step. Maybe he can't cover like he used to. How long do you think you can still play, or how long do you want to still play in the NFL?
You know, the thing is, bar I don't have any injuries, you know, that can keep me off the field, I could play another 5 years easily.
Okay.
You know, the thing is, I could play football. You know what I mean? I'm not, you know, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of guys who are just corners or they're just this or they're just that, but I could play football. You know what I mean? I can play any position. I can go anywhere on the field. There's no limit to what I can do on the field, so I could be used until my tank is empty. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I could easily give you 5 more years.
But with that being said, now I know you personally. People may not know the extent of our relationship, but you're a huge entrepreneur. I mean, you got a lot of stuff going on. You got the wine thing going on. I mean, I know, you know, you and you know, you and Crawford do some things real estate wise or inside, you know, interior design. What all do you have going on as an entrepreneur? Because you do things as an entrepreneur as well.
Yeah, I mean, you got to keep it moving. You know, one day you're gonna have to hang the cleats up. You know, and as you said, you know, me and Carver, you know, we have a real estate company. You know, buy houses, fix houses up, buy raw land, and that type of deal. So, you know, I got a few things, few irons in the fire. So when I'm done playing, you know, I'm not just dangling. You know,
right.
I won't just be out there and trying to figure out what my next step is. You know, I already got some things going now. So when I'm done, you know, I can keep it moving.
You know, there's like an ongoing thing about they call you Benjamin Buttons. Have you heard that before? Have you heard that?
No, I've never heard that, man.
Somebody said you're not aging, you're going in reverse. They just Twittered me and told me to tell you Benjamin Button and you would know it. That's no good.
Hey, you know what? Hey, Bob, man, that sounds like something you came up with.
I promise you. You got a Twitter account?
I've never. No, I don't Twitter, man. I can't do that, man.
All right. Well, you won't see it then, but I promise you, it's on my Twitter account right now. I promise you.
Oh, that's crazy.
Hey, Charles, look.